You're searching for something whole, cause what you seek's real life. You're watching this world unfold, the truth beneath the lies. Rekindling what's been stole, the need to free one's mind. Uncover the truth exposed, so people see the light. Let's jet it down so we can know. It's simple, we just break it down to little bits so we can process all. Make the switch to elevate yourself to conscious mode. And it's beneficial, we can get this concept broke and get the future generations who wanna stop the whole thing. With the masses demonstrating, we can start opposing, taking in, assimilating, getting lots of knowledge, waking up the population, trying to stop hypnosis.
Chant it down, radio's coming to you live from the Hawaiian Islands, coming from the perspective of complete freedom, coming from wisdom outside the system and then some. This is the mouthpiece of the natural earth forgotten. At this point in time, humanity's been kept from the truth, so Chant it down, radio offers the coordinates to a path out.
You're searching for something whole, cause what you seek's real life. You're watching this world unfold, the truth beneath the lies. Rekindling what's been stole, the need to free one's mind. Uncover the truth exposed, so people see the light. Let's chant it down so we can know. It's simple, we just break it down a little bit so we can process all. Make the switch to elevate yourself to conscious mode. And it's beneficial, we can get this concept rolling. Get the future generators wanna start the whole thing. With the message demonstrated, we can start a post. Taking in, assimilating, getting lots of numbers. Waking up the population, try to stop hypnosis.
Welcome to Chant It Down Radio. This is episode 114. I'm Loomis, your host, and welcome back again. The website is chantitdownradio.com. If you'd like to support, go on the website or Patreon page and help out this small show here. Always listen to the archives. There's lots in there. There's nothing that's old. You go back and you can listen to all the different subjects I've covered, and it's still relevant to today, so don't be afraid to go there. But this is episode 114, and we're going to get into some subjects today that I think have been a long time coming, and basically it is how to live in today's world knowing what we know. If you've been tuning in for the last year or so, a lot of my shows deal with heavy material about what is here and what is coming, and it's not good, such as the 5G rollout and things like that. Just not real fun stuff to think about. And really, since this show started, I've been dealing you with heavy blows on what this world is really all about. And if this info is new to you, it can affect you pretty hardcore. And it's not easy to live in this world knowing what we know, even though it's the reality of these times and we have to face it. And I guess, personally, I guess I'm able to stomach this information, and it may have something to do with the fact that I never invested myself much into the system. I never was fooled by trying to live quote-unquote normal life. So when I found the truths about this world, it just validated why everything is so messed up. It also showed me that I don't have to serve a system that enslaves me. To me, much of this information is empowerment, but I realize, to many people, this information blows open big holes in their normal life, and it can make you feel discouraged about any positive future on the planet, and it doesn't look good. So the trick is how to live life knowing this information. So today, my guest is Marya West. Marya West is a writer, non-guru, lineage, spiritual teacher, way-shower, divine love, agent provocateur, medical intuitive, and master energy healing facilitator. Well known for her tell it like it is so you can move forward in truly living the life you want, Marya's teachings are practical reminders to engage and activate your superpower of focus to easefully allow the physical and conscious embodiment of divinity as grand creators of reality. She facilitates the dissolving of all forms of trauma-based mind control, including the most egregious of sexual abuse, so you can raise your energy frequencies of your earthly physical self to match to your eternal divine self. Author of the book Effed Wide Open and A Wonderful Awake Female Voice and Presence in Living the Truth, welcome Marya to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Loomis. That was such a delightful intro.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just think we need to know about how to you know, get on the right path. And I guess maybe just as we're on that subject, how did you get on your path that woke you up? I mean, I know it's usually not just one thing, but a set of things that probably put you forth on your journey.
Absolutely. Well, my journey was pretty fucked up. I spent probably the first 30 years of my life in utter despair about what was going on in the world, the controllers, the shitstorm that I was witnessing within my own life and in the outer world. Like, it became very clear what was going on within me was actually just the sort of microcosm of what was going on out in the world. And it started to get me thinking that, all right, I know that internally, like, my whole thing as a child was I was so joyful. And every time I expressed that, I got backhanded, or I was told to tone it down, or I was told that girls don't act that way. And it just became very evident to me that people were living big fat lies. And I noticed that the influence of media, i.e. the television, that we were all being controlled somehow by the TV. And so I've always had an absolute distrust for the television. And I can remember one of my earliest memories after immigrating to the U.S. from Asia, that I started noticing, look at my family members, and noticing the ups and downs of their sort of emotional countenance. And I just remember that, you know, this TV is the fucking problem. And I remember as a little toddler walking around, noticing that it was plugged into the wall, and I just remember pulling the plug. Like, you know, why watch that shit, really? I mean, if you're getting all tweaked and upset and acting like a zombie, and I got into so much trouble for that. And so that was kind of my first real awakening as a child, was that we're being controlled and dominated, and I just wasn't going for it. You know, it's like, no. So I started really making it a point to just kind of voice my opinion, and which got me into a lot of trouble. And so it got me into a lot of trouble at school, when I got into college, in traveling. If I didn't like something, I mean, I was in everybody's face. So I was pretty angry. And unfortunately, the anger was not met with a lot of support. So as I started delving deeper, like, I read a lot of books. I read the Gulag Archipelago, the entirety. I mean, that fucking thing has, it's 8 volumes of, like, dense material. So it is not like, it's not like light reading. It took me 7 years to finish that thing. And by the time I finished it, I believe I might have been like 22 years old by the time I finished it. I was so depressed. I wanted to either kill myself or to undo. But the trouble is that once you start waking up, you can't go back to sleep. You know?
No.
And I think that was part of the realization that I had as a very young adult in my 20s was, oh my God, and nobody wanted to talk with me about it. And I went to a very liberal arts college, and of course nobody wanted to talk about it. Everybody was talking about how oppressed women are, and so here I am, I'm an Asian woman, and I'm going to this college. I have a hard science background, and everybody's telling me how oppressed I am, and how I should feel like this, and like that, and men are only after one thing, and on and on and on. So one of the things that you have to do in waking up is you have to educate yourself. You have to, like, really tune into what rings true for you and what doesn't. And then, of course, concurrently, while all that is happening, New Age bullshit arises. And so I immigrated from the Philippine Islands with my mother to Berkeley, California during the 60s. So you can only imagine the bullshit that I watched with all the sort of stoned out hippy dippies. I mean, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want. It's a free country. If you want to get stoned out, you want to protest. And I'm like, what are they protesting? Like, what the hell is going on? And yet, at the same time, I saw this tremendous amount of greed and just so much privilege, quote unquote, and I put that in quotes because I don't even know what that means necessarily, other than it seems like the privileged class, they're doing a lot of the bitching and the protesting, just like the women at my college who were like trying to shove down my throat that I was oppressed, and I really didn't feel it. And sure, the sexism. I mean, I was a little Pop-Tart when I was young, and I walked around in like tube tops without bras and hip hugger white pants, and unbeknownst to me that I wasn't quite in tune with the fact that my physical form had the ability to actually mesmerize men into going into their instinctual sexual centers. And wow, I needed to like cop to that and take responsibility. But, you know, the sort of bullshit oppression that are like pushed on women that if you're an empowered woman, you can wear whatever the fuck you want. It's like, hello? That's complete, utter bullshit. And it totally is. And it wasn't until, actually, that I had traveled to the Middle East when, you know, me as an American citizen, pushing my agenda as an American citizen, that, you know what, I'm going to wear whatever I want. I'm not putting that thing on. I'm not covering up. And the interpreter and the guide for the people I was traveling with, I mean, I'm talking getting shoved up against the wall. And this woman looking into my eyes with this rage going, do you want to die? And like, I didn't get it. You know what I mean? I didn't get it because I'd been traipsing around in America, the land of the free, right? And here I am. I'm going to a primarily Islamic country and I'm going to traipse around in a white tube top and hip hugger pants, donning my belly button. You know, it's like, and I'm an American, I can do whatever the fuck I want, you know? So that's been part of my journey. And then you come back to America and there's all this new age love and light stuff and all the tantra and free love, and you start realizing this whole conspiracy, if you will, of diverting your own personal power to be part of some cult. Whether it's Marxist, whether it's New Age bullshit, whether it's, you know, our two-party system, whether it's the haves and the have-nots, and whether it's masculine and feminine, white versus black, on and on and on. And I really started getting into seeing the divisiveness on every little facet of human existence, the divide and conquer. And I really made it kind of my life's mission, at the very least for myself, to extricate myself from that. And how do you do that? So I discovered that in my 20s, I had a being and I had a doing. And really examining what that meant and the energies of the internal feminine and the eternal masculine. And I started playing with those things. And as I got older, I realized that, you know, this whole gender divide of man and woman, gay, bi, straight, I mean, just on and on and on and on, it was the way we were going to be controlled the most. And so, dare I say, I believe that we are all programmed from the moment we are conceived to be sex slaves. And I have gotten so much shit for that. And I think the worst of it is I've actually gotten death threats about that because it just pisses people off because they can't face it. And when you see the very innocuous beginnings of it, you know, pink booties, blue booties, and now we've got rainbow booties and transgender booties with all kinds of like weird shit attached to it, you start seeing the oh my God, I mean, it's pure ridiculous and it's evil on so many respects because it's happening right under our noses and we do not question it. And that's the whole thing. The masses, they just don't question it. So you're either out of the fold of the herd hurting the herd, or you're part of the herd hurting the herd. And I realized that, especially when I started reading books about, ancient civilizations and our origins, reading the Bible. I was a PhD candidate once upon a time, and I had to read both versions of the Quran, the Sirah, the Hadith. You immerse yourself in these readings, these writings, and you start understanding the sort of mass hypnosis that we're under, regardless of what religious affiliation you are aligned with. So as a Jew and a Catholic, I've had to like really disavow from all of it and just kind of step back and really kind of dissect what it is that I'm aligning with. And I don't align with any of it. I align with the truth of who and what I am as a human being, as a spiritual person, as a human being, and what that means. And so it makes me very sad to watch a lot of people, you know, just kind of like chase their tails and to be so indoctrinated in the sort of yaya gaga zaza of normal reality. So I really like it when I come upon people like yourself and people like Freeman Fly and Mark Passio, who are willing to step out of the sort of fold and do the research and make the videos, make the content. For myself, I'm not so much a researcher as I am I'm on the front lines. I'm in the battlefield doing triage with people who have been abused by the worst of the worst of the worst of humanity. And, you know, this whole movement to blame it all on men, I'm like, ah, 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 ah. That's not how I see it. The way I see it, it's the complicity of women, unconscious women, so overtaken by their own unconscious inner masculine and their helpless, victimized inner feminine. They're the ones that are like, they're the gatekeepers to allowing the shit to continue on. So I really am very outspoken about feminism and the fakery of it and the bullshit of it. And so a lot of my work in terms of speaking and writing, aside from the healing work that I do and the hand-holding of deactivating and dissolving trauma-based mind control of all kinds, is really speaking out about the co-opting of all these wounds and traumas and the weaponized victimization of humanity, whether you're a man, woman, or child. And then, of course, the way this information gets disseminated now it's a problem. I mean, we're all under attack, and we're all having to be very wary and very, very careful who we affiliate with and who we're aligned with. So, I'm sorry, I just went on a rant right there.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. So for myself, you know, growing up in the what I call the San Francisco Bay Area, California, I mean, I was just horrified, and it wasn't like it was getting any better. In fact, if anything, now that I've made my complete egress and escaped from that zombie nation, I'm witnessing its sort of implosion, where more and more and more and more just evil things are being perpetuated and promulgated And it is. It's a cult. It's a mind warp. You can't even have a conversation. And I've lost family. I've lost friends. I'm not allowed to have these conversations. I've been blocked and whatever, you know. And it's like you just have to keep on keeping on, which is so important when, you know, my main avocation is get in touch with your superpower of focus. Because when you are so trying to extricate yourself from, number one, your tribe, your family, from, you know, religious influences, the indoctrination of our school system in the U.S. or even here in Europe, I mean, you know, indoctrination. I mean, let's face it, the stuff that's going on in Europe isn't any better. In fact, they're two steps ahead of where the America is going, as far as I'm concerned, unless there is really a mass awakening to really extricating yourself from the influences of the powers that want to be. So this focus is, and I know we were talking about this when you first contacted me, the whole thing about, well, how do you navigate the rocky terrain of normal reality? And one of the first things is you notice normal reality, and you actually, I recommend start playing with normal reality and start noticing where you fall within the auspices of normal reality, and you're going to find yourself actually probably not in it, but on the outskirts looking at it and observing it. And then I always suggest to people when they get there, and make some popcorn, because one of the things that has, I believe, saved my ass over the years, and I'm older, I'm going to be 59 on Sunday. One of the things that saved me, and I'm blessed with that, and I really believe here, just as an aside, that the people that I know who are rocking their lives on their terms and have escaped the gulag, at the very least, energetically and psychically, there's something that happens. Because the more current time reality you have running through your tissues, the more youthful, the more vibrant and energetic you are going to become. And that is a journey in and of itself, because it involves really being conscious about what you eat, who you spend your time with, what your focus is, the things you align yourself with. So it's really a transformation of removing yourself from that normalcy, okay? Which is, yeah. So in getting back to that, your superpower of focus is so important. And read, do your own due diligence. Don't take anybody's word for it. Don't take my word for it, you know, really. Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is I always tell people, you know, if you project that, that's why I say non-guru lineage spiritual teacher. I mean, I'm jesting, and so my sense of humor, I'm pretty sarcastic, so I'm actually being sarcastic and endeavoring to be slightly darkly humorous with that, because I cannot stand gurus. I don't like gurus. I don't like people telling me what to do, how to think. No. I've never been part of a cult. I will never take direction from anybody, even the people that I really admire and believe everything that they say. And I recommend you don't believe anything or everything I say. Try it out for yourself, you know. And I think that's the important thing. And part of our indoctrination, unfortunately, is that we're programmed to be like sheep. And by the way, every time I do that, like if I'm actually on a farm, it's amazing. They all come to me. It's like, Mom is here. Mom is here. Let's check her out. And
I thought you put in a sample for a second there.
Yeah, that's actually me. That's actually one of my many little goofy voices that I do. Mm-hmm. I spent time on a kibbutz when I was in Israel once upon a time, and every morning, just making these sounds, and all the animals would come and check me out. And it didn't matter what kind of ad, the horses would come check me out. I mean, it was so much fun because I think they kind of knew. They kind of knew, hey, you know what? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. And if I do, you will be blessed. So anyways, getting back to the superpower of focus, it is imperative. It is imperative. And of course, one of the ways that we get hijacked with our focus is at our third eye. And I know there's been a lot of discussion around the decalcification of the pineal gland, our superpower of intuition, i.e. the chakra system, whether you believe in chakras or not. It is important to like really keep that area clear, because I believe that our third eye, the ajna center, the sixth chakra, that really empowers our superpower of our intuition, our imagination. And these two components are so important in our creativity, because that's what we're here for, each and every one of us. We're here as grand creators to move from formless to form.
Right.
Okay. Formless into form. So we're talking about the unmanifest creative energy, which is the divine masculine. And then it intersects with our desire, need, want, our intention to create form, all things that become physical, which is part of the divine feminine. So everything actually manifested in the physical is an example of divine feminine energy that's been made manifest and made physical. And oh my God, the fake feminists, I cannot stand that shit. It makes them crazy. But that having been said, that's our job. We're here to be who we are and to create formless into form. And we each have some kind of specialty. And a lot of people don't even know what that is. They don't even think that they're all that special. So, you know, there is that divide. There's those who really, really feel that they are special and they need to lord over people. And then there are the people that are the perpetual victims. So this polarity of victim and perpetrator, of lower and higher, you know, we need to like really just kind of like check it out. Check out where you're at in that polarity and endeavor to, like, we have this dualistic nature. And I don't think it's about being good or bad. I think it really is about understanding that when it comes to human nature, it's not good or bad. It's just programmable. So what are we doing here as we coexist with one another? We are learning about what works and what doesn't work. What lights us up? I mean, I get every time that, oh, I'm in this shitty job, I'm in this shitty relationship, I'm in this shitty house, and, you know, it's like, okay, why don't you move? Why don't you break up with that person? Why don't you quit your job? And then it's one excuse after another, after another, after another that lends itself to this very confined reality. And so getting back to our sixth chakra, if that is all mucked up, okay?
Yeah.
And that key, and I really believe it is the key to unlocking the doors of perception and unslaving us from the powers that want to be, whoever you think those are, you know, and it's quite the conglomerate, really endeavoring to keep humanity down and just kind of mesmerize, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you can unlock that for yourself and start getting really, really clear about what lights you up, what relationships light you up, what creative ventures are worthy, what job, what your specialty is, what really, really, really moves you, things will change, and they will change very, very, very quickly. And unfortunately, you know, most of us are just, we know how to struggle. We know how to be victims, okay? We're rewarded for our victimhood, you know? I mean, in fact, I've had people get in my face, upset with me, because I teach people how to be empowered within themselves, and it's seen as an affront, like I'm doing something really wrong because someone is actually moving from victim to victorious. I mean, wow, what a concept.
Yeah, you know? So what you're talking about is actually transcending people from normal life into what they really are and who they really should be, and
yes,
taking them out of their belief systems and their groupthink and all that, so they can become the people that they resonate with and move toward the things that they resonate with.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Give yourself permission to be who you are, not who you're programmed to be. And it blows my mind. It really, really blows my mind that can be seen as an affront to people who want. I mean, I've had people actually tell me, I like things as they are. You know, I like my struggles. I like my pain. Okie dokie. Great. Good luck with that. Have fun with that. You know, now, you know, bye. You know, so, and it's very encouraging for me when I get queries, and I get queries every single day in my inbox, and just people who have either heard about me or have heard about my book or know people that know me. And, you know, one of the first things that they say is I want to discover what I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so basic. And these are people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And then, you know, then I get these really, really, really young teenagers, most of them teenage boys, which is like really kind of interesting. It's like, who knew? No teenage boys had access to me. but they're asking really, really great questions. So then I point them to Mark Passio. I point them to Jordan Peterson. I point them to Stefan Molyneux. And I've actually been accused of being a fucking white supremacist because I go there. Well, then, you know, go visit Thomas Sowell's material as well. I mean, learn some things. But it's funny how you point people and people hear about it and they get all up in your shit, you know, because, you know, what, white men. I mean, the war on white men is... I don't think it's bullshit. I'm witnessing it, and it's quite fascinating.
Oh yeah,
really fascinating.
It's in the programming. I started to realize that everyone and their belief systems are crazy after my wake up, and it was gradual. But I mean, I've seen this progress from what you're talking about with this war on white men or war on many things. But I remember that I dated this girl not long after 9/11. And she wanted me to go to her church. So I went, and the preacher was talking about how George Bush Jr. is a good Christian man, and that they were praying for him to lead us through Afghanistan to find Osama bin Laden. And everyone in the church was real pro-military. So I could barely sit there. I was just like, wow, these people are completely insane. But then, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even think that they would, you know, like, recognize Jesus if he came to their own door. So, but then in the early 2000s, I was telling everybody about chemtrails. I was trying to tell the yuppies in the health food stores. I thought they'd be concerned because they cared about food, that they care about the skies and the health of the planet. And I just got shut down, being denied by that side too. It was like this self-righteous, condescending, know-it-all attitudes, and they pissed me off actually even more. And now these are those two ridiculously opposed sides we have here in America, who have no idea what's really going on, and they blame each other for all the problems in the world. And there's so many smaller perspectives people fall into also. And I mean, this whole groupthink is everything that everybody's focused on, and everybody's stuck in one of these little things, and there's all these triggers, and there's just doesn't seem like there's a lot of ways that people, a lot of people don't want to get out of these group thinks and transcend to what they are, who they are supposed to be, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the whole thing, is this trigger-happy nation, actually it's a trigger-happy world, because it happens in Europe as well, but what I'm noticing is, it is part of weaponized woundology. You would think that we're all walking around in these with these devices. Actually, we probably are, you know, given the smartphones and all the various iPhone technologies, etc., that, you know, we're all here, I'm triggered and it's your fault. It's like, no, if you really want to be awake, you take responsibility for your triggers. You notice what you are being triggered by, and you take responsibility for it. And that means you do the great inner work to excavate what the fuck it is within you that is allowing you to be hijacked energetically and emotionally so that you become rendered incapable of taking responsibility for your life, your choices, or your fucking non-choices, instead of sitting there weaponizing it and blaming an entire nation, an entire person. Like, this whole blaming of Donald Trump, I mean, I find it just fucking laughable. I can't, I mean, if I want a good laugh, I just get on YouTube and I put in, you know, the latest thing that he's at fault for. You know, it's like, and these morons can't see how they just empower it. And they disempower themselves because they're not willing to look in a mirror and look at their shit and take responsibility. Take responsibility for your victimhood. Oh, really? You know? And then it becomes this sort of blanket statement. All men are rapists. Oh, my God. It makes me insane. It's like, dude, really? Just like all men aren't rapists, all women are not truthful. Hello? I mean, it's just so, it's so apparently, like, it blows my mind, you know? And so, sometimes I feel bad that I'm laughing at it, but I can't help it, because it's, are we really that dumb? Because that's what it is. It's like the dumbing down of our divinity. It's horrifying. It's really, really horrifying, you know?
It's crazy how people get so wound up about things that these groupthink thought patterns that they don't even realize what they're really mad about. They, like, if you actually, like, talk to them, they're pre-programmed people. They don't understand exactly, like, the root causes of any of this. And, you know, like, a lot of these people protesting here and there, that you could ask them why they're there, and they don't even really validate why they're there. They're just there because they're upset, and they had to get upset about something, when really maybe they should get upset about the root causes of their slavery.
Yeah, exactly. But they won't have it. You can't have a conversation with those kinds of people. They have already weaponized their woundology, and they're just going to get in your face. They're going to get in your face, and it's going to be name-calling. You can't have a conversation, you know. You can't. It's just, you can't talk to crazy. That's basically what it is. And it's unfortunate. It really is. It's unfortunate. But at the same time, I really honor all of those who are willing to take the baby steps forward to extricate themselves from their tribal programming, their religious programming, their societal programming, extricate themselves from pop culture. Oh, my God. And stop being a fucking yes person and sycophant to people outside of you. You know, really get to know who you are. Get to know what it is that you're all about. And, you know, I always stress to people, well, what lights you up? Why are you doing things that do not light you up?
Right.
You know, it's a basic question, and we all need to question ourselves. And we're in the process of ever becoming and ever evolving. So for myself, I have changed so much in the last 10 years. And I continue to step forward and refine and redefine myself, reinvent myself. I mean, that's the whole thing of our creative natures, is that we're really, really powerful beings. And we're not any different from the powers that want to be. And that's the thing that I find disturbing in a lot of the sort of, for lack of a better way to describe, the conspiracy theorists. You know, it's like, okay, you discover all the stuff about our banking system, about the global elite. Yeah, Okay. Mm-hmm. I spent 25 years just in this total depression and in this mode of PTSD, because I'm like going, oh my God, how are we going to do this? You know? And then I finally had to like literally pull my head out of my butt and realize, you know what? I am giving them way too much power because they're not any different from me. And this whole elitism thing that they're different and no. What they've done is that they have occulted, they have veiled the information that we all have access to as if you got to be special come upon that information. It's bullshit. Just like New Age bullshit that you have to do all this kind of stuff and be special to be spiritually enlightened. That's bullshit. Spiritual enlightenment is our natural state as divine beings. It's bullshit to make it special. That's the whole thing. This specialness. Oh, I'm just so special. I'm awakened. Oh, fuck off. No. It's your natural state. It's your natural state. Your job is to dissolve your programming and your mind control. Extricate yourself, free your mind, free your heart, free your body from the tethers. And so when you start connecting the dots and you start realizing, okay, what's the bottom line for chemtrails? Like, it blows my mind. Those are vapor trails. It's like, no, dummy. No, I'm sorry. Those are not vapor trails. This is a vapor trail, you know. I mean, it's so easy to research this stuff, but people are just, like I said, they're so dumbed down that they have no energy. I mean, anything. Taking a walk down the street on a sunny day, I can't do it, you know. So what do? They're sitting schlunked in front of a computer or a TV and unable to move. How are you going to conduct divine energy and creative energy if you're schlunked? And you can't move because you eat shitty food. I mean, everything is connected. So yeah. Our food, our water, the air that we breathe, the activities that we align ourselves with, the relationship we're in. I will go so far as to say, if you're in a shitty relationship, you are actually harming yourself from getting on with your life. Because that shitty relationship, the drama that you put up with, moment to moment to moment, day in and day out, year in, after year after year after year, that is your excuse for not living life the way you're meant to live it.
Correct. Very correct.
You know, and people think I'm an asshole for saying that. So be it. I am. I'm kind of an asshole.
But enlightenment really is going through your shit and dealing with it and looking at it and realizing that this is not authentic to you. In order to get to that space, we have to go through and unplug all of these tentacles attached of the system that make us not us. And then, you know, I'm going back to what you were talking about, how, there's a lot of people that get stuck in this conspiracy realm where they're just like, you know, the banking system and blah, 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 and, you know. And I never felt any spiritual attachment to that. Yes, the information's true, but there's got to be more mastery when dealing with this information, because I know there's a fine line between taking all this in and then also constantly focusing on it and letting it consume you, like someone like Alex Jones or somebody like that, but yet staying aware of this information and being vigilant at all times, yet not letting that pull you down so you stay afloat and have, like, you go, yeah, that's happening, but I'm me and I have better things to do than sit and sulk. Instead, maybe I can try to do something about it, or, you know, become the fullest person I need to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it takes a lot of courage to remove yourself from the fold, of your tribe, religion. You know, we're very social creatures. And for myself, the choices that I have made have absolutely contributed to the utter isolation that I find myself in most of the time, because most of my friends, I have no family whatsoever that supports anything that I do. I am the freak of nature. And you know what? I don't care. I've learned to stand on my own. And that's a really, really scary thing, because we are social creatures and we live in a society where your hermitage or being on your own is not really, it's not really supported. But when you spend time on your own, and what ends up happening is that you learn to become your own best friend, your own best man, your own best woman. For me, I've had to become my own best man and best woman and best friend. You learn what is true for you. Because when we're amidst all these different energies, yeah, and then we're interfacing in the world that is overrun with a lot of entity attachments, a lot of people on drugs, or they're just not, they don't have their shit together, they've got all this emotional, energetic caca. I mean, this stuff is for real. And you can be inundated with it so much so that your spiritual immunity, your energetic immunity is just down. And which is why a lot of people are, like, literally and figuratively not just physically ill, they're mentally ill, they're emotionally ill, they're psychically ill, because they've just absorbed all the shit that isn't even them, and they think that's them. And so that is a real, real problem. So it is really important to dive into the, in Tibetan Buddhism, Tantric Buddhism, they call it the charnel grounds, charnel. And this is really, it's the graveyard of your existence, basically. All your relationships, all your thoughts, all your bullshit, mostly, you know, and you're on your hands and knees, you know, just owning everything. Nothing is ignored or undiscovered. And you just get real with yourself. And that is the great inner work. And part of the great inner work is also not just staying there, but also aligning yourself with things that move energy forward. And like I'm always talking about your emotional countenance. And your emotional countenance is what is going to move you forward in terms of your awakening. And I know that a lot of New Age bullshit talks about, oh, we're just gonna like align ourselves with love and light, you know. So ignore the dark shit, ignore the really, really intense, traumatic, ugly shit, and just go for the light. And okay, that doesn't work. There has to be integration, okay? And then on the other hand, there are those camps and factions that want to just focus in on all the really, really, really bad shit, you know, and you can't enjoy yourself. Bullshit. No. You have to look at all of it. That is the totality of human experience, is you have to be friendly with the god-awful shit, and you have to be friendly and give yourself permission to enjoy your life, enjoy your relationship, find out what activities you enjoy creatively, whether it's whatever it is, you know, who knows? I mean, my whole thing has been about music. So I've been a traveling, touring musician. I've also been a yoga person, and even ran the gamut about yoga being evil and part of Satanism and, you know, just ridiculous shit that, oh, wow, you know, is it true? And guess what? you have to investigate things. You don't take other people's word for it, these no. things. You discover for yourself. It's like, okay, yeah, no, I actually like yoga. I don't think it's evil. It's not evil to me. You know, whatever. But investigate. And I think that's part of it, is that we're so dumbed down. Just the idea of reading a book, holy moly. The idea of having a conversation with somebody that thinks differently from you or is from another culture, oh my God, I can't do it. You know, there's just so much fear that people allow, and people allow that fear to, like, run their lives. And that's such a bummer to me. You know, fear for me, like, it never immobilized me. Everything that I have felt, whether it's fear or anxiety or, you know, my just full-on rage and disdain and vengeance, those feelings always woke me up. Depression, on the other hand, which I think is just, like, is the lowest of the low, along with guilt and feeling like you don't deserve shit, that has always been kind of a waylaying force, which really meant, and it triggered within me, anger and frustration and rage, because it's so, for me, that depression is so, it goes against the grain of my being. Okay, so I find that, and I get this all the time because so many people relate to being depressed. And for myself, I think it's a mind control program that really allows people to just schlunk, to just become passive and inert and immobilized in their lives. And is it real? Absolutely, it's real. You know, it's real. And I implore everybody that if you tap into that energy, to do whatever it takes to pull yourself out of it. Ask for help. Do what you got to do, even if that means you take pharmaceuticals for a limited period. I say limited because I know way too many people that are on, you know, some kind of like pharmaceutical plantation. And, you know, that's not good either, because that is actually in the way of your full embodiment and your full awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that people think that when we talk about depression too, I just find that people think that we, who are trying to bring awareness to the masses, must live these horrible lives and we must never have any fun. I get, you know, I was talking to another guest about this, and a lot of people think that if you truly embrace this information and the world is messed up and go through your own shit, then we must live in some angry little hate bubble or something. Yeah. But actually, we don't. I mean, I actually feel relieved when I know that, wait a minute, I don't have to be part of those things that are making me depressed. I mean, pharmaceuticals, some people have chemical imbalances, and I see the reason for them. I know Big Pharma is not that the, like you say, that the long-term answer, but whatever shit can get somebody from being immobilized, temporary immobilized, to getting mobilized is key right there. I agree with that, definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we have all these tools. We have access to lots and lots and lots of information. And so it really is about activating your superpower of focus and doing your due diligence. Do your own research. Do not be some fucking automaton, sycophant, just going along with what everybody else is doing. I mean, and that's such a bummer that our nature to be social, our nature to belong to someone, to a group, to have that sense of belonging. I mean, I really had to, like, get through that one, you know, and because it can be so like I said, isolating and lonely to face a lot of the stuff on your own and to not get sort of caught up in the sort of undertow of, oh my God, you know, I'm alone in this world. There's nobody to talk to. Nobody understands. And because there are people that do understand, but you have to move in the direction toward, like you said, in enjoying, giving yourself permission to be happy, giving yourself permission to have a smile on your face, giving yourself permission to realize that, okay, all right, you know, this awakening shit, it's rude because the world, a lot of the world is rude. Well, and then the flip side is true. A lot of the world is beautiful. And having traveled all over the world, the beauty of the planet is, it is just mind-blowing, heart-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, and then so many people don't get to. They don't get to travel. They don't get to see the way other people live.
Especially Americans.
Yes, exactly.
30% on their own a passport. And that's, a lot of times, I love to travel. And I got the travel bug just purely because I'm curious. And I've noticed a lot of people are not curious enough. And that goes back to you saying people are immobilized. It's the same,
yeah.
It's the same thing. So yeah, why not travel? That's one of my answers to a lot of problems is to take the journey, whether it's that journey or a journey inward, but that one is just like, how do you know what the world's like unless you go?
Exactly. And you said it right there, curiosity. And part of curiosity, that is part of the job of our superpower of imagination and intuition and the realm of all possibility. It's our third eye, once again. It's our third eye. This is where if you can't imagine yourself traveling or you aren't curious about the world, about the planet, and it's like so sad to me. It's so sad to me. Why would I want to go there? And I hear a whole cascade. Oh, it's so expensive to travel. It's a blah, blah. I mean, just one excuse after another, after another, after another, after another. You know, so it breaks my heart. It really, really breaks my heart. I know so many people in the U.S., in America, who have never left their state.
Yes.
Who have never seen the ocean, who just, I mean, can't go to the big city. You know, their big city is like, what, 20 miles away. Oh, we can't go there. You know, and that's part of the programming. I mean, that is part of the dumbing down of humanity, unfortunately. And I mean, I guess ignorance can be bliss. That's I've often wondered that myself. I've had a few realizations where, you know, that kind of sucks that I know that. I was like kind of blissfully ignorant about that. So I get it. But at the same time, it's not, I don't think it's our nature to like be limited to such a degree that your curiosity is completely shut down. Yeah. And I think that's a crime. I think it's criminal. And, you know, unfortunately, that seems to be the, it's the basis through which our enslavement is kept,
yeah.
You know, kept in check. Because people are like, they're not doing what they need to do. They've just succumbed to the programming, to becoming part of the herd, or the herd hurting the herd, or just unwilling to bust a move and to just stay down and throw in the towel, you know. And I think that's so sad. And I don't think it's ever too late, though. I'll have to say, I've met people in their 80s and 90s who are like waking up. It's like, oh my God, wow.
Wow.
I worked with a nun about 20 years now, bless her heart. And at the time when she started working with me, she was retired. She was in her 80s. And she engaged me for quite a number of years and just really clearing out the sort of collective Catholicism. She was part of an order that was very austere and very, very strict. Mm-hmm. So she had been orphaned. So she was part of this nunnery or whatever you want to call it from the time she was a little girl. And so here she was. She managed to immigrate to America. And so here she was now in the Bay Area when I was living in Silicon Valley at the time. And this woman was so amazing. And like, I remember she's like laying on my table. She goes, you know, the rest of my fucking life asleep. And I remember she said the F word. And I was like, I literally freaked out. Freaked out that this nun, this former nun, was sitting there cussing on my table. She learned ballroom dancing. She always wanted to be a watercolor painter. So she did that. She started dating. Oh, my God. And it just blew my mind because here was this woman who was basically part of a cloistered society, had had enough, and then had the audacity to be curious, to bust out of this consensus reality that she was a part of the majority of her life. And here she is, 81, 82, and learning to rock her life on her terms.
Wow.
I mean, amazing, amazing, amazing. And she has since passed away. She made it to, I believe, almost her 100th birthday. And passed away in her sleep, from what I heard. And it's just like, you know, I'm like, wow, that is so, so awesome. And she's one of my favorite stories to share because she was just so, so vibrant and so curious. You know that word, curiosity.
Yeah.
And that's part of the inspiration, you know? We get the divine inspiration that comes in from the divine into our crown chakra, the top of our heads. I mean, this is where we get the inspiration to do things, to create something, to get a life, you know? But we have to allow that in. And this is, of course, where a lot of our divinity, a lot of our curiosity, a lot of our inspiration gets hijacked by the tribe, religion, political stuff, bullshit, you know? I love that you brought that up because that is a word that I think ought to be a directive for all of humanity, curiosity.
Absolutely. Because that lady you mentioned actually lived a life worth living. She died. Even though maybe the first most of her life wasn't really much there, she still at the end saved it and became who she really needed to be. And that's,
yes,
we have to have the courage to persevere through the barriers and be curious and be allowing yourself to just go and don't care if you piss off the public.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And she was adorable because she lived in specific housing that was for retirees. And, you know, and I just remember her coming over to my office when I first met her, she was coming in these sort of very, very drab, very simple outfits. And then all of a sudden, you know, here it was. I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 girl, you know, I mean, she surprised me. She came in and she had like this gorgeous red hat. It was a floppy hat. And I'm like, wow. And was wearing lipstick. She was experimenting. She asked me to show her how to put on eyeliner. And I'm just like, oh, praise God. God is all it is that this is going on, you know. So it was a real pleasure and a privilege, really, to really support her in, you know, moving through and getting a taste and a nice taste of another way of being, you know, yeah. Because of curiosity and because of her willingness to unravel this programming of that, you know, I'm orphaned. My parents left me here. They didn't love me. I'm not lovable. And you know, just the trajectory of being in a cloistered, controlled society where, you know, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't even look at people. And just constantly looking down and not being able to make eye contact and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was like wild.
Wow. Really well. That's some deep programming right there.
Yeah. Totally. But she was willing to do it. She was willing to do it, you know?
That's good. So let's talk a little bit about your book, F Wide Open. That's an unforgettable title. Like, I mean, what brought that out? What made you come up with that title and what's it all about exactly?
So what it's all about is, it really came about, I was having a conversation with my then partner, who, we were trying to come up with titles, and then I realized that a lot of my clients and students were already saying it about their own lives, that I can wake up to the truth of who and what I am, as a divine being in this physical reality, and I can either let my life and let the way I've loved fuck me over or fuck me wide open. And so it was already there, just based on just the many years I'd already been at it at that time. And it seemed to be like a natural progression of what the title needed to be. I was just going to call it The Rude Awakening of the Heart-Based New Humanity. I realized, you know what, that's the subtitle, because it is rude. It is rude. New Age bullshit, when I first started hearing about spiritual awakening, you know, I was just kind of like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? And people were like going, oh, and the angels came. It's like, oh, God, stop it. You know, and I knew the person was full of shit, basically.
Yeah.
Angels, come on. No. And I really believe that the awakening, it is, like I said, it's our natural state. But beyond being the natural state, it is our commitment to incarnating, that is, living our lives on purpose. I think that's what it is. It's discovering who and what you are as a creative being and living your life on purpose, incarnating on purpose, not half-assed, but committing to your life. That's what it is. And you know, part of that is obviously everything that we've been talking about here, extricating yourself from all your programming and aligning yourself with whatever it is that lights you up. So, and then, of course, we are in this paradigm of this weaponized woundology where we are rewarded for being victims. Oh, my God. And I really had to talk about that because that's just not where I come from. It's not my path. It's not the path of my students, not the path of my clients. It's not the path of people that I admire, whose work I admire, but it's just not what we do. That's not what you do. You know what I mean? You don't let circumstances fuck you over. You move forward. And so the whole notion of being fucked wide open is just really embracing life, the good, the bad, the ugly, just the totality of human experience, and being in your heart while it's all going down. And so that's really how it came about. And in the introduction is a whole play on F words. And so I thought it would be amusing to just create this dialogue box and just have all these effed words. And so, and then at the very bottom, you've got in, you know, small italics, the word fucked. It's just so, I think, demonstrative and illustrative of all the many ways and many, many journeys and many trails and offshoots of waking up to this reality. And because so much of it is rude, discovering the way the powers that want to be are, or the controllers are dominating the world, endeavoring to have dominion over your creativity is a rude undertaking. However, you level the playing field with them in discovering and understanding that you are just like them. They are just like you. They're no different. We all come from the same place. And we have equal access to the information of regarding the laws of the universe, the law of attraction, laws of manifestation, etc., psychology. They're masters of that. We can be masters of that too. We have access to that information. You don't have to be special. So that's how that all came about. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff about my own personal journey. There's a lot of stuff about my clients and my students, and also my own discovery and the research that I've done, particularly in my work of over 31 years in facilitating the deactivation and handholding of survivors of the most egregious of sex abuse, rape camps, satanic ritual abuse. Nobody wants to talk about that kind of stuff. And then the stuff that's talked about regarding those subjects, are a lot of it is so sensationalized. And so, you know, being able to navigate those mine fields as well, because there is such a divide in the various communities, whether you want to call them conspiracy or whatever it is. So, as you know, and you've probably run into this, I mean, there are those people that are like very, very positive in those areas, and other ones where you feel yourself getting hijacked into the sort of god-awfulness of it or the sensationalism of it. And, you know, I know that over the years I've been approached by many, many other content creators or reporters or whatever that want to sensationalize my work, or, you know, and it's like, I don't grant that, because most of the people that I work with, I'm sorry, they don't want to be public, you know. They don't want it. They've escaped. Their actual, you know, their safety is actually in danger by going public. So, you know, it's not just about curiosity. It's about discernment. You know, discerning your own well-being and the well-being of your work and so on and so forth. So. So I'm sure you've run into this.
Yeah.
With your own work as well.
I've run into a lot of, like we talk about polarization too. I run into a lot of people that are unaccepting of, like we could talk about, you know, It's funny because you could talk about someone who's been satanically ritually abused, and then you could also talk to somebody who is an abductee, and certain camps won't accept one or the other that well, you know?
Yes.
But it's like, no, this is all happening. We need to see this bigger, larger picture here, too. And it is happening. There should not be this, like, narrow window here.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And that's absolutely true, because we come from all different kinds of backgrounds. And so, it's part of the creative fabric of our reality that all realities are just as important. And there is this equality in like opportunity, but you know, when you're expecting an equality of outcome, I mean, there are different levels of skill sets and different levels of I think competence, or I don't even know what to call it. So you know, there are various levels of outcomes relative to healing, relative to the deactivation of all different kinds of mind control. And there is no one size fits all. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that is the most difficult thing to convey, is that one size does not fit all, and everybody's different. I know people who have been able to work through just unbelievable amounts of traumas. I mean, just horrifying stuff in relatively, quick pace, you know? But that doesn't happen quite often, because there's all kinds of like trickery and foolery that you have to be really very, very careful of. I mean, that's part of the trickiness of trauma-based mind control, is that there are so many nooks and crannies and so many controls and grids of protection, enslavement. You know, and I say that very, 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 very carefully. So, you know, to be adept at what's going on in the background, and to make sure that you're of the sort of purest of integrity, you know. So I've had to do a lot of work to be able to, like, hold the space.
Yeah, you know? it would seem like, I mean, I just from the outside, it would be exhausting to, deal with someone. How is it to deal with someone who's had trauma-based mind control? Is it something that, like, you have to go into it really strong and be...
Absolutely.
The whole way through, so you don't get too bogged down by it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's very true. And I think part of it, too, is that I've had to do my own work with my own egregious abuse, and I did not do it alone. So I have been blessed. I've been blessed with facilitators and mentors who were very skilled in, like, holding the utmost highest of integrity of healing space, and that's really, really important. And you know, it's not something that you take some fucking new age weekend workshop and then hang a sign saying that, oh, I do this and this and this. Bullshit. You know, I mean, it's definitely not for the squeamish. And there have been times where I have come upon survivors where their circumstances are just so horrifying that I've had to recuse myself. So, you know, it's understanding your limits and understanding that, you know, when you come upon a case, and it's case by case by case, where you're out of your league. It's out of your league that you, number one, you don't, you stop. Number two, you ask for help. And so I have a set of, I have a set of colleagues that are like able to like really help out in those cases, because the treachery of the powers that want to be, the treachery of the evil that runs in the hearts of humans is, you know, and that's what it is. You know, evil isn't outside us. It's within each and every one of us. And so to be able to really face that and to know when you've been bested, I think is like totally, totally important. So I have like, I'm very, very humbled to be doing this work. And so because it is a dive into the underworld.
Wow.
And you can't, you cannot minimize the importance of protecting yourself.
Right.
Okay, because there's way too many unseen entities that are endeavoring to run the show, you know. So I hope I'm not being, kind of elusive in that. I'm trying. The English language is quite difficult sometimes in trying to express certain things. So
yeah, it is limiting. It is sometimes I just don't feel like I can. I wish I had a different language to explain things sometimes.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, I know that here in Hawaii, that when the missionaries came, they changed around their letters, so they were not able to communicate in the same way. They changed the T's to the K, and they, you know, so that happens in, and I'm thinking that English language does have a limitation, possibly on purpose that way sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and when you think about how a lot of words are sort of hijacked,
yeah,
you know, on purpose to either make it to try in an endeavor to diminish its power, to skew its true meaning. Yeah, so a lot can get skewed in terms of words. So, you know, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we're, and that was part of the difficulty in, like, I think writing the book. The book took me over 10 years to write, and so this is the second edition. There's two more books that are, like, soon and ready to go, that are follow-up volumes that were actually part of the original manuscript. And so it was quite challenging, because a lot of what I was endeavoring to share would be sort of like, I noticed, I'm like, shit, man, this is like, it's getting lost in the translation here. And so I found it very challenging to really parse out how I was going to like fully describe some very difficult thing to put into words, you know. So in fact, that's one of the things that I'm currently doing is I'm actually recording the audio version of the second edition, simply because I write the way I speak, and so I know several colleagues have told me, you know, wow, you know, it would be so cool for you to like really be reading this, because I can hear you reading it and saying it, and it would be helpful for potential readers to like really, really hear the way you are emoting, you know, because I know I get carried away, I'm boisterous, and very passionate about how I express myself, you know. So I think that's important.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're getting to the end of the show here, and I think just to kind of go over what we've gone through here, as we've talked about, just basically bringing people through a journey, showing them that they need to ditch their belief systems that don't resonate with them and know that that's programming and go through their shit and then come out the other side, go with your curiosity and become a human, the human that you're meant to be, the person that you're meant to be, and do what you're meant to do. And I think that that's a really good message, and I really enjoy your work and your passion behind it and your voice behind it. I think it really brings people out of it really good.
Thank you so much, Loomis, for having me. This was really, really, really a privilege to speak with you. And thank you for your work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And how can people get a hold of you, website and get the book and all that?
So my website is marjawest.com, MarjaWest.com. So you can find everything there. Me and my techie god, we are building the site from the ground up, and it's really, there's content that's being added every single day. And it's looking really great, and you can find some of my sarcasm there. I've got new blog posts and have created also audio versions of all the blog posts, so you can read along and listen along. And and I'm reconsidering to start up YouTube. 3 years ago, I was deplatformed and deleted everything after having it up there for 12 years. Oops. So I'm slowly thinking, okay, I think I'm going to come back. So that's in the works. And so you can find me on Instagram under dakini.kiss. And that's pretty much it for now.
All right. Well, thank you, Marja, for coming on. And you're welcome back anytime.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Big pleasure. No worries. And, we'll have to do it again sometime. And I think that people can really take a lot from your material and this interview itself. I think it's really beneficial in the end.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure.
That was Marja West, another great guest on Chant It Down Radio. And she chants down the system and deprograms from the deep program. And that's why I really wanted to have her on. And I think that the message is great. And it fits right in with the series of shows I call the People Beyond series. And I know that does sound like another mini series of shows I have called the Beyond Earth series. But if you are a new listener to the show, the best way to get into all these shows is I do a lot of mini-series. So if you go into chantitdownradio.com, go to the Series of Shows page, you can go and scroll down and check out all the different series of shows that have like ideas together linked. Some are stricter, like you need to listen to part one to get to part two and etc. This series called the People Beyond series is a loose bunch of shows, but with the concept of exploring who we are outside the system. And so that fit right into there. Not all the shows I do are part of a mini series. Some are standalone shows, such as the last one I did, which was the Strange Happenings in Hawaii. But most of the shows I do are put into these series of shows, these mini-series, so you can kind of flesh out ideas and really run with it, take it, and listen to the different ways to break it down. Now, if you are getting value from the show, I always can use the support. I know all of us in the world are broke, and it's not easy. I don't even like asking for money, but I can spend more quality time on this show if I can get more compensation to do so. Otherwise, it does have to be that back burner type of thing.
If you can go to the website, put a tip in the jar. I mean, it's as simple as if you went to a coffee shop or sat down for a meal, you tip the waiter. Well, it's the same thing, but I'm serving you meals here that are knowledge meals that are assimilated. This is stuff that is good for the future of humanity and planet Earth. So, you know, whatever you can afford, it helps if you get value off the show or purchase an album on the website or become a Patreon supporter. I haven't put any work into that lately, but there is actually going to be my other podcast, The Underground, Volume 2. That's going to be released on there. And although I have not put any work to the Patreon page, you can support me there if you like, and it would help. And then you can get free listening to, well, my discography, which is one album, but the album Waking the Systemites, and also any random musical thing that I do, or in the case of this, the Underground podcast series, which is more of me just sort of giving you more of opinion-based show and more musical and more of me just personally. So if you enjoy Chant It Down Radio, then that can complement your listening. So if you would like to become a Patreon supporter, it does help the show. But anyway, Chant It Down Radio has to be random. There is no schedule for the show. I'd love to say, I do it every Wednesday. But, you know, like say, you know, this has to be the back burner thing. So I'm not sure when episode 115 is coming exactly. But be on the lookout. Subscribe to the RSS feed on any of the listening platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, and all those things. Spread the word. If you can't afford to support the show, I understand. But spread the word, and it helps me, it helps my guests, it helps the future of humanity, because why I do this is the great work. It's the work that people need to be doing to get out of the situation that we're in. We can change the Earth in an hour, all of us together, all 7 billion people, but people are programmed, and so we have to deprogram from the deep program, and that's why this show exists. And I like to invite guests on that really chant down the system and understand this too, so they can give their take, and that's what I did today. So anyway, thank you for being a listener of Chant It Down Radio, and be a warrior, not a worrier, and you know, love your life and enjoy it to the fullest. Don't be afraid. Get out there and enjoy your life, and don't be afraid to go travel, to explore, to be creative, to tell people to fuck off if they don't agree with you, because you know what? In the end, you have to be you, and coming from your heart, that means that you're going to be you no matter what people want to try to box that they want to place you in. You are you, and be that person, and love yourself, and love everybody else, and give people the ability to grow and help everybody else to grow and give. And if you can give back to the show, I appreciate it. All right, enough rambling and ranting as I do. So anyway, be a warrior, not a worrier. Keep chanting down the system every day. All right, aloha.
Time for us to move toward it. Out right here, you know you get farther. people beyond.
Are you awake now?